Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The text for today is verse 16. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Lord, help us to armor up. Help us to take up the shield of faith. Help us to walk in obedience and fight for you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go to the lesson today, the title is Take Up the Shield of Faith. Take up the shield of faith. And I'll walk through the outline with you. But the idea today is that we fight in faith and we fight by faith. Take up the shield of faith to fight in faith and to fight by faith. But before I go into the lesson today, I have three questions to ask you. Normally when we ask the people, we just let them think about it. But this time, for the point that we need to make, I will ask you to respond. And if it is a yes, I want you to please raise your hand. Okay? If it is a yes, just raise your hand for the question. All right? Normally, the right answer is that if you answer yes to one question, you must answer yes to all. Because they are the same question. That being a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ is being a disciple of Jesus Christ is being a Christian. The point we want to make, and that is for us to kind of think, why didn't I raise my hand three times? Or if I did raise my hand three times, that's the proper understanding. But we do want to make the point that it is a very typical response that throughout the churches, this kind of response is typical in that people have a dichotomy in thinking. They think in that being a Christian is something, and then something else is being a disciple, and then something else is to fight, be a soldier. But that is not true. And because of that kind of thinking, we find ourselves not engaged in the kind of walk before the Lord, commitment before the Lord that is proper. And so if you did not answer the three questions altogether, make a point of that and ask yourself, why did I not understand this? And use this lesson today as all the lesson we have to kind of make that connection. Because the dichotomy is this. When we think about being a Christian, we think very simply that that we have received grace from God and received the gift of salvation from God in the Lord Jesus Christ for all what He has done for us and as we come and receive. And we put a period right there. And it is true. That is all we do. We come and receive what God has given us in grace. But as we open our hand to receive, it is also the same action that enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as follower of Him, as disciple of Him, as taking the stand on His side and stand on the side of the kingdom. So when Jesus talked about following Him, receive salvation by grace, He also say this, and this is the same decision in Matthew 16:24, and He repeat this in Luke 9:23 and in Mark 8:34, so that we be sure we understand this. He said that if anyone who would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He said very simply, there's a real commitment here, guys. And it's not just receive salvation and then put it in your back pocket and then continue as you go. You enter a totally new life. You enter a different commitment. And He also said, whoever does not do this then won't be my disciple, won't be worthy for my kingdom. And so we want to understand that being a soldier when we are calling to fight is being a Christian. Being a disciple is being a Christian. There is no difference there. And it is a difference in our mind because we have not seen the scope of Scripture calling us. So make this a starting point for us again to say that I am a Christian, and therefore I am a disciple of Christ, and therefore I am a soldier of Christ, and I am in the fight. And all these things apply to me. Because otherwise, if you say that it is an option to be a Christian, to be a disciple, an option to be a soldier, then all these things may not be applicable to you at this point. You say, well, it is interesting, but I'm not fighting anybody. I'm not doing this. You are, if you are a true Christian. So let's connect with that and look into the fight that we have today. We are a soldier. We are called to be ready as a soldier. We are called to armor up and to walk before the Lord in His truth and to stand for His kingdom and to win at the end. And all the things that we have been given is for us to do that. And today it is a matter of faith. In verse 16, he said, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith. So we're talking about faith today. So the title is Take Up the Shield of Faith. And the subtitle we have is to fight in faith and fight by faith. And the first point we say it is to always look up to God. We always look up to God. I'll explain that. Number two, we always obey God's word. So first is we always look up to God. Second, we always obey God's word. And thirdly, we always overcome. Well, the idea of looking up to God is based on just the phrase taking up the shield, as we talk about the shield and the function of the shield. Second, we always obey God's word. It's a definition of the shield of faith. We want to define what taking up the shield to mean and what it is to believe and what it is to have faith. And then number three is from the text here that we are able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We will overcome as we fight in faith. So I hope that gives us the framework. Number one, we are soldiers. We are soldiers when we say, I believe in Jesus Christ. We are followers, and here are the things that we need to do. And some of us don't find ourselves in the battle at all. And there are two reasons for it. You have not grown up. You have still be immature. And that's what Paul said, you know, now start eating solid food and grow up and act like mature and move out of the elementary areas of your life and faith so that God can use you. Number two, you have been taken out of the game. That you probably sit in the POW camp from the enemy's territory, or you're on the hospital bed in coma. Because those are just the options of the true Christians. Either you are functioning as true Christians and fight and grow and serve God as His soldiers, or you are just too immature for God to deploy you and you need to grow up. And that is not a good place to be. Or you've been taken out. You've been taken captive. You've been in a coma because you have suffered grave wounds that make you incapacitated. So when we realize that the normal state of just being there, floating around, kind of thin, and not engaged in the spiritual combat is an abnormal state for a Christian. Not that we see that way, we're fighting everywhere, but we are engaged in the call. We're moving forward for the kingdom, and we accomplish objectives for God. And because He has a kingdom to establish, He has a rule to bring about, and He has the king he will put on the throne for all men to obey and worship, and we are part of that campaign. So we realize that. All right. So here, having taken us through the armor and the equipment, now he come and say, in addition to all. Just want to notice this one because the way Paul writes, he put in certain things like that so that we say, oh, there's something here. Because he is putting a break into the pieces of the armors. There are six of them, and he grouped the first three together, And now he is grouping the next three together. And so he said the word in addition to all, meaning in addition to what I said to you about the other three. Well, the first three, as we learned, in verse 13 down, 14 down, put on the full armor of God and give us the picture of six representative of the armor that we need to put on. And then the first is to gird our loin with truth, or the belt of truth. Second is the breastplate of righteousness. And then the third is the shoes of the gospel of peace. And now he said, and in addition to those three, I'm talking about the next three here. In addition to those, and I'm talking about the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. So just to reconnect there, I want you to see what Paul is trying, because he not only changed at that, he also changed the verb. He changed the verb from have been to taken. If you pay attention, you will see that in verse 14, he said, have been girded your loins with truth, have been put on the breastplate of righteousness, have been shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and then in addition to all, now taking up the shield of faith, and then moving on, he said, take the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit. Now, when Paul does that, it's always intentional and always fascinating to pick up these things, to say, Paul, what are you thinking? What are you trying to tell me so that I understand? So the bell of truth, obviously, it's again to remind us that the readiness to obey the truth, the nimbleness of feet, the attitude of being ready. As God say the word, we're on the move. And that's the kind of attitude. The first thing the soldier does is to put his long flowing robe into the bell, tie it together so he won't trip over. When we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, there are two things that we have to protect. Do you remember what they are? Tell the person next to you so that they know you don't remember. Or that you do. Well, you have to protect your thoughts, and you have to protect your emotions. And that's coming from you know, the area of the heart and lung and the bowels that the piece of the breastplate of righteousness cover. But it gives us a sense of two foundations that we must stand on. And number one is justification, righteousness that comes from justification, and righteousness that comes from sanctification. These are the two crucial pattern of thoughts and pattern of motives that help us to have right thoughts and right feelings or right emotions. People say, well, this is doctrine, you know, justification, sanctification, I have a life to live. Well, precisely because you have a life to live, you must think right and you must feel right. You must operate on the foundation of truth. And that is, when you think justification, it is the whole notion of God's free grace and His guarantee and His power available to you. And that's changed our mind and changed our heart, changed the way we feel. People right now sometimes, you know, struggling with inferiority complexes and you know, oh, I was born under a bad stars, as the Vietnamese would say, or come out of a bad home, or whatever the situation is. He said, you know, stand on justification and get out of that. Because if you don't stand on that, you will be stuck there. But standing on justification is not enough, in the sense that we must also walk in obedience. That is justification, the guarantee of God's power in our life is the fruit of the Holy Spirit produced by the life that is obedient. So stand on that. That will change your mind and change your heart and just protect you at the area that the devil can get to. And then we talk about the shoes of the gospel of peace. Again, stand on the right ground. Stand on the ground that He has made peace with you. But also be about the business. The business of the Christian is the Great Commission. So when you say, well, you know, I'm in the church, I'm in the worship, but be about the business, meaning you think about this and put your life in there, two things will happen. As we mentioned last time, you have the right priority. Because if you don't live for God's, what God's purpose, then obviously you have wrong priority, however you feel, however I feel or we feel. But then, when we stand like that, then the reality of living for the gospel also undergird us and make us strong, and we don't slip and fumble around or stumble around. So I just want to connect there as we move forward, because it's easy to hear these words because they are too familiar and don't do it. Just like to have the armor and don't put them on. You know, you have the armor, you don't put them on, guess what? The devil can still get you. You're not protected if you don't put them on. And that's why he said, put them on, put them on. But the interesting here is that Paul is trying to show us there are two areas that have an impact. So he is showing that the first group is a little bit different from the second group. The first group are the armors, pieces of armor that you put on and you keep on always, all the time. You know, you gird your belt, and then you keep the belt on, right? You put the breastplate of righteousness, you put it on and you keep it on. You put your shoes on, you keep it on. Those are permanent stuff. Things that you always have on, or let me say, things that you always work on regardless of where you are, what you do. Whatever the situation is, you always work on truth. You are always ready to respond to truth. Whatever the situation is, you protect your mind and your hearts and your emotions, and you stand on righteousness. Whatever your life is, you are about the kingdom, you are about the gospel. So it doesn't matter whether you're young right now, teens, you are still about this business. Whether you're old, well, I don't know if any old people here, maybe Jim would qualify, I don't know. but you are about this business. Sorry, I need protection after this. but that, and then now he moving to the area where you take action. The shoe of faith is not something you wear on all the time, and we will learn that, but you have to have it in the ready, and you, in the moment you do that, you put on the helmet when you go out to the battle, you take the sword when you fight. So he said that now you are moving into action area now. There's a preparation phase that you always work on and constantly work on regardless, but then not just only that, you need to be skillful in this area, skillful in using the tools. So that's the kind of thing that he made the distinction, and he said, you know, having it on, and now take this, use this. And that's the structure, and that's the flow. I don't know, I just get excited when I see this kind of thing. Well, because so everybody see this, you know, it's all in commentaries. But when you sit with the Word and you say, boy, you know, how come I read through this millions of times, I don't see this. And you're grateful for those who give you instruction in teaching and in books and things, and to give you that there are depth and there are details that really instructive in the Word. But also let's take a look at the shield. This is how I put the outline, as we always look up to God, because when we take the definition of the shield and the usage of the shield, and also how the Bible use the word shield in connection to faith and God, it is one direction for us when we look into that. But let's look at the shield. And remember, this is an imagery used to denote a spiritual reality. We need to then understand what the shield is and how it is used, so that we understand what Paul has in mind, because he only gave us a sentence of summary. He said, take up the shield of faith. And he wants us to say, well, think about what the shield is, and he assumed that we know, and tie that up to the applications. So the Roman soldiers use several kinds of shields. The two are the most common, as you see, you know, you see in movie and things like that. There's a small one about 2 feet in diameter, and you put it on your arm with two straps like this, and that's used to block the sword blows from the enemy. And that's for hand-to-hand combat. that's not the word he used here, but that's one kind of shield, very popular. The other kind was tureos, which is the kind of like the door. and the soldier, all he does is to carry that shield, and it covers his whole body from head to toe. You know, a little bit short so he can lift up and walk. And the edge of that of the shield is constructed in a way where you can lock up to the next guy, so you can form a solid wall of shield, and then you move forward with that. And then behind that, then, you know, you have the archers and these people with the spears, and then you move forward, and the shield would be either for defensive posture when the enemy attack, or when you attack and get to their position, you want to be behind the shield. As I mentioned, they are used mostly in conjunction with other shields. You don't have this one guy with this big shield running around. Okay, you have them in formation. You have them in a tactical maneuver during the battlefield. Alexander the Great is one of the greatest military commanders in history. He developed a way to use this kind of phalanx or the locking of the shield in a way that make him very famous. Instead of locking together and move forward as a wall, he locked them together in a V shape like this, and then he put himself right at the edge with a golden shield, and then they just move right real fast, right, run into enemy's formation, separate them out, and then in the rear they will wipe them out. And just see Alexander on the front, fearless. You know, his troop was just, it's just moving forward, and the enemy just in that side, they just melt, and they move into that, just cut through the enemies like cutting through butter. And so here Paul is talking about that kind of movement and that kind of combination as we talk about shield. Talk about the relational aspect in our fight, the position that we take, and the kind of offense that we must do. So it is for the whole body protection. It is used at the front line. And remember that you don't put on this shield when you're back home and sleep. So it's in the front line of the battle. It's used to link up with others who are with the shield. So you move in pattern, in position, and you use in both defense and offense. And it is the only kind that can stop the kind of attack that Paul talk about here, the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now the flaming arrows, you know, we know about that. But this is the kind of long range missile, so to speak. They're made of pretty heavy wood or even metal, and they tie a very big chunk of material on the tip. And when they shoot, sometimes they have to shoot by their foot, not only like this. They have to lay on their back, put their foot on the tin, and put both hands on to pull the arrows back because they are big and huge. So it is not just this tiny little thing that you see, you know, Indians fight cowboys. Those are big arrows that when they hit you, you're gone, or they hit something, it will really destroy. Especially when they hit, they penetrate, and they splash this material everywhere, and they burn. So Paul is talking about something very, very massive. He's talking about something pretty nasty, and he's talking about long range. So talking about the enemy attack when you don't see them. You suddenly see this barrage of arrows coming down, and if you don't have this thing, if you're not around these people who with this shield, you're gone. You just can't fight. There's nowhere to hide. And that's the sense of the battle. That's the sense of the engagement that we must have. Because sometimes we walk around as if there's no danger. Just read that again. The flaming arrows of the evil one. And you must be behind this kind of shield of faith. And you must operate in conjunction with others. You must be at the front line. And all these things that really help. Otherwise, you'd be, let me say, dead meat. And we don't have that image in mind. And when that one thing hit us, hit our family, hit our kids, and hit our future, take forever to recover. Now, as I mentioned, there are certain things that you fix permanently in the armor. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of the gospel. And now the next one is you must be skillful in taking up this shield. It is the action thing. Like I said, you don't wear this thing walking around, but you have to have it next to you. And when you hear the call of the fight, and when you hear the trumpet to sound that you must form your formation, you must come together, then immediately you can take that, you know where you are, you know where you're supposed to be, and you link up with others and you move forward. Just imagine, you know, the whole thing locked together and move forward, and this one guy falls asleep somewhere and you have this gap and hole in the middle. Well, the devil or the enemy only need to go through that little crack and the whole formation go down. So as we form that in mind, we understand that this fight has a lot of connections that faith requires to be equipped. Because we don't just follow God by ourselves. We follow God within the body of Christ. And all what we do affect others. What we don't do affect others. And this is the part where faith is not just personal. Faith is a faith also for the corporate and for the body. So let's look at the word of faith a little bit. And I want just to underline a few things. Well, we all live by faith. Every day you live by faith. Every time my wife drives, I live by faith. I'll let that sink in a little bit. But that is true. You know, you eat food that you trust, not poison. You go to McDonald's, you go, you know, to the fast food, you order, you eat. You don't ask anything, right? You don't know how many rats they fry through, or whatever. Airplanes, trains, whatever. We live daily by faith. And yet when it comes to spiritual area, faith seems like something really strange. No, faith makes everything work. If you don't have faith, even in normal life, you can function. And much more in the spiritual realm. Faith here is not only in that, but faith in God. And faith in God never fails, because faith, the worth of faith is not on the strength of how you feel about it, but on the object of the integrity, the power, the worthiness of the object of faith. That brings me to the point that I want to make here. I want to say very clearly, this is faith in God and not faith in faith. You say, well, faith in God and not faith in faith. Because there's a movement teaching out there, example, the prosperity theology movement, they are teaching faith in faith. What do you mean? They say, you know, get your faith strong. Pump up your faith, do something that your faith will grow, and then as your faith grows, then you accomplish much. So first, put down the seed faith. Okay, you hear that, right? Put down the seed faith, and normally it is, send me $20 or something like that. And then put that in a seed faith, I'll pray for it, I work on it, it grows like this, and God cannot resist your faith. Therefore, whatever you pray in faith, demand in faith, claim in faith, He will have to give it to you. It's all baloney. Because that's just faith in faith is psychological stuff that really put man in the control and try to work things through emotions and talking to, you know, work that out. Increase your faith, pump it up, because God cannot resist your faith. No, He doesn't respond to that. And we said, but I'm not into that, you know. But sometimes it creep in ways that we if we're not careful, we get trapped in it. I was in a meeting of pastors, a prayer meeting, and we were asked to all stand up and pray out loud, which is fine. You know, we do that all the time. We pray out loud. But in this case, the leader was keep saying, pray louder, pray louder. And then he said, you know, pray louder so that God can hear you. Pray louder so that God can respond to you. And I say, God respond when I yell? And you know, it's just the whole notion that if you get your intensity up, if you get your focus up, if you get all worked up, then God is bound to listen to you. Shed a few tears in there if you can. Say a few hallelujahs in there. Maybe, you know, get Him all excited as well. God is not like that. God is not like that. And when we move in the world and we move in there, even in the churches, we manipulate our emotion. We do those things and we think, boy, I got faith, and go smack, and the devil slap us, and we fall down and we say, what happened? That's not the kind of faith that works. So here it is that we must understand loudness is not faith, tears are not faith, hallelujahs are not faith, feelings are not faith. They are expressions of faith at times. Don't be mistaken for that. But they themselves don't move God anything. It is the faith of Scripture that we will come to. It is the faith in God Himself, the understanding of who He is, the peace with Him, the commitment to Him, the rest that you have in Him. Maybe I'll just go through some verses here for us to understand that, and in connection with the word shield here as a word to bring here. Well, let's first turn to Genesis 15. I just love this phrase when God talked to Abraham, so I pick it up. But then, you know, so many, and I'll concentrate in Psalms later. But here, Genesis 15, God called to Abraham and said to Abraham, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward." Now, he making a lot of promise for Abraham, saying, you know, there's a promised land, there's a kingdom, there's a people. And then, but at the end, he said, "Abraham, it is all relationship with me. I am your shield. I am everything that you can stand under, and I am your great reward." Meaning, Abraham, it is me and you. If you find me your shield, your great reward, everything that cover for you, then that's what I mean. It is not the benefits that I'm talking about. It is me and you in that personal relationship, as well as the plan that I have for you. I want to start on that note because we say pray louder, pray harder, yell louder, and then we say, wait a minute, what about this personal relationship? What about all the things that involve in the personal relationship, such as we learn second point, obedience. You don't need to obey, you just only need to yell. Now, turn to Psalm with me, and we just walk through a few verses in Psalms. And I think here we begin to just see different aspects of faith and shield at the word to speak to us. So turn if you can, if not, just listen. First one is Psalms chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. "O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. But you, O Lord, are the shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountains." He said, here it is, you know, you are my shield about me. Why? You are my glory. You are everything I dream for. You are everything I want. And I cry to you, and you answer me, and in that I am safe because you are my shield. You are around me. To the Lord I cry out. Chapter 5. Verse 11 to 12. "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. And may you shelter them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. Your grace is my shield. That's when I stand on justification, I am safe. That's when I stand on Romans 5:1-2, that you have made peace with me, I feel fine, I feel gladness in me. That's how we are protected. We're not protected because of this kind of emotional notions that we run around with. We stand because this kind of thing that God said, I am about your good. I am committed to you because I'm God in relationship with you. 18, verse 2 to 3. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. I call upon the Lord and I am saved. He is my rock. He is where I stand. He is where I hide." See, God is my shield. Why? Because I run to Him when I'm in trouble. I cry out to Him when I need Him. I praise Him. I worship Him. That's how it is. I come to Sunday. I come to Sunday because He is my shield. I come to hide in His shadow. I come to lift Him up. He is my praise. He is my honor. He is my glory. And also in 18, 30 to 36, I take this a little bit extended quote here, but just listen to it. "As for God, His way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and set me upon high places. He trains my hand for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. And you also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great. You know, just to listen to all this expression, your gentleness makes me great. I don't think of God my shield in that, but His gentleness is my shield. His right hand uphold me. He teach me how to use the tools of the warfare so that I can be about this business. And that is how He be my shield as well. He make me fast. He make me gird my loin with truth and with strength. And He train and He transform me. That's what He is. So we love the Lord for that. As this word come and we face situation in life, tough life situation, we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I am entering into this relationship with you in a new way, because I know this is where I can hide, this is where I can enter in, this is where I can be safe, but not only safe in the corner, safe to be out there in the world and stand for you. Let's turn to 28, verse 6 and 9. Blessed be the Lord, because He has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with songs I shall thank Him. My heart trusts in Him. Why do you sing this morning? Well, do your heart trust in the Lord? Do your heart exult in the Lord? Would song come out because you have found the Lord is strength and is the shield about you? The protection, the everything concerning you? And that's what the psalmist said. He's everything, and therefore I rejoice. A couple more, 33, 20 to 22. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hope in you. You know, there are times when we say we don't hear from God. But people who have faith in God, when they don't hear from God, they don't fret. They don't say, why, Lord, you abandoned me? No, they wait because they understand. They understand that they are waiting for the Lord, and it's a proper part of relationship to wait for the Lord. You know, I know it is hard, and in my life it's hard to wait. And I know you go through that as well. But people who fret when they wait, actually because they don't have faith. Because they ask the question too soon, they jump up too fast. They just sit there and say, I wait for the Lord. Why? He is our help. He is our shield. Our heart rejoices in Him. Even when we wait, even when He doesn't answer, even when we don't know what He's doing. But we trust Him. That's the whole thing. He is the shield because I trust Him regardless of how things turn out to me. Because that's what the shield is. He will protect me. I know that. And therefore I rest. 89, 15, 18. I got a bunch more, but I think I'll take forever for me to quote here. But I'm just glad that I had an opportunity just to go through and read these verses. I only give you a few. But the excitement, you know, that I have will just say, boy, my life is so secure. You know, I'm glad that my God is my shield. When I think about Him, I just feel so secure now. What's going to get me? What's going to touch me? What's going to change? So, 15, 89, how blessed are the people who know a joyful sound. Oh, Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor your horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. He changed the image a little bit. He said, you know, here's the shield, but I give it to you, meaning you are my shield, you know. But the way to say that, I own this, I have this, and it is you. That's why it is so blessed, and I'm so joyful. That's what faith is. That's what faith is when we think of the Lord and all His goodness and all the character of God and all the power in God, all the intention and plan of God. You think about that and you say, what am I worried about? You know, what am I worried about? At times I worry a lot. You know, I talk about the church and I say, who's going to be with, you know, next generation? Who's going to fight this front? And where are the people here? And where's the resources here? I come back here and say, it's your church. It's your church. And then I'm fine. Then I don't need to worry about it. I just need to put my head down, do the best I can, give the best shot every day, rejoice in the Lord and live out. And let Him be the shield, let Him be the guide, do whatever He wants. And that's transform. You know, look at your family, look at relationship. You think that way, you will find this shield a mighty shield. It protects everything that can hit you. But not only that, it moves you to enemy's territory and overcome. It's not just we sit in the corner and always in defensive position. Remember, we lock arm with one another who believe the same. We lock arm in those who have faith in God. We move together there. We overrun the enemy. And that's why it's important to realize that not just I have faith for myself, but when I have faith this way, think this way, move this way, live this way, I am able to be in the fight with others so that we accomplish for God. Right now, a lot of us just sit there by ourselves fighting our little thing. We never lock up in the battlefront. But the shield is used in the battlefront, in the front line. The shield is useless in the back where you hide in the corner. So it is a call for us to stand up. To stand up and be counted where God's plan is needed. You know, don't put that little gap there where you're supposed to be there. Everybody lined up and where's, you know, where's Joe or where's Tree or where whatever, because he's too busy or because he's too afraid or because he's just don't think of God this way. No, come back to God, turn to God. That's what I mean. That is not faith in faith. Faith in faith is self-centered, is psychological manipulation. It is for me, but faith in God. God is my shield. It's a life of celebration of who God is and a trust that rests in Him. That's how we move through life. We just rest and trust and be where we're supposed to be, do what God wants us to do. Hebrews 11:6 said very simply, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Just let that thing, you know, settle in your heart. It is impossible to please God without faith. Without this kind of perspective and trust in His Word and commitment to Him, it is impossible to live pleasing to Him. But the other side is that, what do we have to do to believe? What do we have to do to be pleasing to God? He said, you come to Him, believe that He exists, and believe that He rewards those who come to Him. And how hard is that? You come to Him, believe that He rewards those who come to Him, and He is always true in that. So you come to Him with that expectation, and here you are in faith, and here you are pleasing to Him, and here you are, He can use you. Next point is that we always obey God's Word. We fight in faith, we fight by faith, we obey God's Word. And when we talk about faith, we always have to talk about obedience. Because the exercise of faith, I believe, is the definition of obedience. Because exercise of faith is not exercise of what I feel like. Exercise of faith is you look into the Word says this, I exercise that, that calls obedience, and that's called faith. It's not like, boy, I'm going to pump myself up and have this feeling and have this and this. Simply, you come to the Word, you see what the Word said, you exercise your faith on that, and that's what it is. And so faith and obedience are twins. They are both sides of the same coin. And that's why it's such danger when you move up into this area of emotional response and faith on faith and claim and, you know, and name and claim and all that. You move out of the area of obedience. You feel like there's no need to obey anymore. You just need to do this. You just need to put hallelujahs in. You just need to put tears in. You just need to say louder. No. What you need to do is obey. When you obey, you have faith. When you don't obey, you don't have faith. Simply that. You cannot obey without faith. Because you go to the book and you see that. You don't believe it. Then what's there to obey? Right? And you cannot have faith without obedience. Because faith means you do what you are told, and when you do what you're told, then you have faith. James get to us in a very special way, so let's hear from him when he speak of faith and obedience. Let's turn to James chapter 2. I think when we talk about shield and we talk about picking it up and be in the position that we ought to be, it's simply this. It's simply that many of us are just disobedient. And therefore, we don't have faith and we don't have anything to go on. And this is what James said, verse 14, verse 2, chapter 2. What use is it, my brethren, if someone say he has faith but he has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing, in need of daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be warm and be filled, and yet do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone might well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as the result of works, faith was perfected. Sometimes we say, Lord, I praise you, I honor you, I sing song, I do this and do that. How come this and how come that? It come back to this. Are you walking obedient? Is the fruit of faith seen in the life of obedience to all of us? Now, when talk about faith and obedience, you have to go to Hebrews 11, because that is a chapter of faith and a chapter of obedience, and this is a huge chapter. But I want to point out a few things here as we connect to what it is that Paul is telling us to put on and to do. The whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is talking about people who walk by faith and who walk in obedience. If you just walk through there, you will see that people like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and so on and so forth, they all believe in God. They all walk the way that God wants them to walk. They walk in obedience. But there are two cases that I want to point out in terms of faith and obedience as in terms of warfare. Look in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And then down in verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell you of Gideon. So I just want to pick these two because they are engaged in a war. And what they are asked to believe is very strange. And I want to bring that out as an example of obedience. Joshua and Jericho, we know the story, right? We know they were asked to do. So when Joshua take the people into the promised land, they run into Jericho. If they don't cross Jericho, they don't overcome Jericho, they cannot enter the promised land. And this is what God tell the people to do. You recall, walk around that once a day. Walk around that six times, the seven day walk around, and then yell your head off when I say so. They have no army, they have no weapon, they just have God's word and ridiculous instruction at that, if you think about it. Here's a fortified city. The wall is so thick you can run two chariots on the top together. Okay? And you walk around, they can pour hot oil in your head. And they can shoot arrow at you, but the Lord said, you walk around. Don't say anything. Next day, go do that, the same. Next day, do that, the same. And do that, and then the 7 day, do it seven times, and yell. I mean, who in the right mind is going to do that? Well, the guy with the right mind to obey. And that's Joshua. He said, that's what you say, that's what I do. Don't understand what it is. Don't see any logic in it. I mean, I'm a man of warfare now. I know how to fight, right? I just don't fight that way. I mean, nobody fight that way. But hey, what you say is what you get. That's what I do. And that's simply faith. That's just simply faith. Lord, whatever you say, that's what you get. That's what I do. I can't figure it out. I don't understand what it is. It seems even ridiculous to me. I won't say it out loud, but Lord, you know my heart. I'm going to do what you say. And when they yell, the thing goes down. It's a very simple picture here, but how hard is it to do? And that's why when instruction come into our life and we say, you got to explain to me, Lord, because if you don't, I won't do it. Then we don't look up to God in faith. We don't react in faith. In faith is simply doing what Joshua do. I know the instruction is clear. I'm going to do it. I let you work out whatever you want to work out. Take Gideon. You know the story of Gideon as well in Judges 6. The Midianites and the Amalekites gather and they say, like locusts. And their camels could no more be counted like sand on the seashore. They say, I mean, they are vast, vast armies over here. And Gideon, this little guy, said, I better go get help. So he get 32,000 people ready to fight an army of maybe 100,000, 200,000. And the Lord said, too many men. And a bunch of them are, you know, they don't want to fight. They want to go home. Send them home. I mean, just think about that. You gather everybody together and the Lord said, I don't need them. They're not ready. Send them home. He said, go home. 10,000 left. Yeah, if you are a commander, you feel the pain already. He said, they're too many. If I use 10,000 of them, nobody will be sure that I do the work, so let's send them home. And he sent back 300. Now, 300, Gideon would say, that's fine. Give me a nuclear bomb, and I go out there and I bomb them, and that's fine. And what God's nuclear bomb is? A trumpet, a pitcher, right? And a torch. Meaning you go out there, you blow the horn and say, here I am. They come at you, you get the pitcher and you pound them in the head, and then you run like mad. That's what you do. That's the plan, man. That's how you fight. And you look at that and you say, Lord, why don't you just kill me now? You know, why do you go through this? But the guy said, all right. You want a pitcher? I get a pitcher. You want a horn? I get a horn. And you want me to go and yell? I do that. And God works. And I think about that. You know how many times I look at the church, I look at my life and say, how in the world this happened? I say, I don't know. You don't know. We look in the future, we don't know. We don't know anything. We just say, God is my shield. I'm going to look to God. I'm going to walk in obedience. And I'm going to be like this. And God will do whatever he wants to do. And that is faith. And see, when we live like that, such peace in us, just such transformation through us, such honor to God. That's what God wants. Honor to God in the sense that we know who he is, we trust who he is, we believe who he is. And that is why it works for us. We won't have time to go to the third point, but let me just read it for you as a commitment that God made to us if we walk this way. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all. Extinguish, you know, whatever they shoot at you, boom, is out. And not just one, two, but all. Nothing get through. Nothing hurt you. The flaming arrows of the evil one. But I'm not just talking about what they get you. When you attack their stronghold, you repel everything of their defense. Now think about your ministry and think in this term. God said, now you walk by faith, and whatever I tell you to do, you will be able to do it, and you will get it done for me, right? I mean, that's all I need, Lord. That's all I want. Right? I want to get your work done. I want to get it done right. I want to do it pleasing to you. That's all I want. So send me, put me wherever it is. It's a different kind of life, different kind of commitment, and different kind of joy even when you see all these arrows coming, because you know nothing's going to hurt you because the Lord is our shield. Say it together in your heart and stand up in joy because he is. Let's stand. Lord, I'm full of joy. and gladness. Because because you are our shield. You're so good at that, so wonderful, Lord. And we rest in it. We rejoice in it. We praise you in it. And Lord, may each one of us, Lord, walk out in our life lifting this shield up for all to see. Lifting this shield up in all our decisions. Lifting this shield up, Lord, in all our endeavors, so that your name will be lifted up, your kingdom plan will be accomplished, and the enemy will flee. But this is the kind of life you want us to have, because this is the kind of life you want to join us, walk with us, experience with us, or rather, we with you. But what other life do we want? In the back, resting on our life, pursuing our short-term pleasure and peace? No, Lord, send us to the forefront. Help us to lock arms with others. Help us to see what you want to accomplish and be counted. And that's where we ought to be for you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.